Can you hear me?
Guess what?
You can hear me.
I can hear the shit out of you.
Well, I'm so glad.
Welcome to Crime Shots. I'm Bree.
And I'm Nikki.
And this is our mini-sode, the unidentified episode. You want to know what that is?
Absolutely. What is the mini-sode going to be about?
Aw, that's so sweet of you to ask. So basically, we're going to cover unidentified persons cases from the NAMIS system.
NAMIS.
Mm-hmm. National Missing and Unidentified Persons System.
Okay.
It's all, everything that we're going to talk about is all on this website. You can go to NAMIS.gov and get all of the descriptions that we're talking about. They also have a section where you can, like, provide tips if you know anything. There's actually three categories on the website. So they have missing, which are people that have gone missing. Unidentified, which are deceased but have no identity. They don't know who they are. And then unclaimed.
That's sad.
So I feel like maybe it helps to, like, talk about it for people to, like, because I had never heard of this website until
I've never used it.
Well, there's a Facebook page called the Unidentified Project that Mom showed me. It's basically the same thing. They get their same information from the NAMIS website. They go into a little bit more detail about different things, but the comments are just ridiculous of people saying this could be this person or this could be this person. It's actually helping a lot to just kind of talk about it.
Right.
So there are approximately 13,477 unidentified persons cases in the NAMIS system in the U.S. right now.
Mm.
And so I'm going to narrow the search to just Texas. And when I narrow the search to just Texas, there's 1,654. And these cases, like, they range from 2020 all the way back to 1957. There's not going to be, like, any method for how I'm going to choose the case that we're going to talk about. It's just, I'm just going to pick one.
Okay.
Or two. So this is case number ML20-3041. It is, the location was Houston, Texas. The date the body was found is July 21st of 2020.
Pretty recent.
Mm-hmm. So it's a female, white. She's an adult. The estimated age range is 45 to 70.
That is a big date range.
So the estimated height is 5'5 to 5'6, and they cannot estimate the weight.
Mm.
Was found in a grassy area behind some businesses and warehouses. The details of the recovery, not recognizable. It says decomposing and putrefaction. So hair color gray or partially gray, long, partially white or brown and black is the hair description. And then left eye color unknown, right eye color unknown, but does wear glasses. And there is a colorful butterfly tattoo on outer left calf. And this is a super cute butterfly. It's got like, it's like starts in the center with like a reddish color and then goes out to like blue.
Mm-hmm.
So clothing, dark blue t-shirt with the words stronger than cancer and the pink breast cancer awareness ribbon, stretchy black pants, size large, yellow hospital style non-slip socks, underwear, and a bra that was found on the body. Footwear, white and pink sneakers, but those were found near the body. They weren't on her.
So do they know, does this website tell you anything about how they were found or how they think that she died or anything?
This particular case doesn't have that. Some of them do have more information, but this one doesn't. But the NAMIS website does have a phone number to contact the Houston Police Department if you have any leads or any information at all.
So on that, the one that you just talked about, she was just decomposing for too long, and that's why...
Yeah, I mean, they don't have it, because some of them will have an estimated date of death, and that one doesn't have one, so there's no telling how long she had been there.
Okay.
Okay, so the next case is a female that was found in Missouri City, Texas, January 29th, 2020. So the race and ethnicity, Hispanic, Latino, American Indian, and possibly Alaska Native. The estimated age group is adult pre-20, so the estimated age range is 12 to 18. The estimated year of death is 2019, so, and they believe that she had been dead approximately 3 months when they found her. So, circumstances of recovery. Partial remains of a young female, possibly Hispanic or Native American, with long dark hair believed to be between 12 and 18 years old, found near a jogging trail in Missouri City, Texas. If anyone has information, please contact the Missouri City Police Department or Fort Bend County Crime Stoppers. So it says, details of recovery, torso not recovered, one or more limbs not recovered, one or both hands not recovered. Not recognizable partial skeletal parts only.
Wow.
There is also, which is strange to me, they did a composite sketch by Houston PD forensic artist, Lois Gibson. Did the sketch. She's got long dark hair and she's got a super, super like oval face, which is kind of strange to me that they could come up with a sketch based off of like with so little. But So the sketch is on Namus. You can find it on there. So Namus number UP71935. Shall we do one more?
Yeah, we can do one more. And for the record, so I was looking up some information, I guess, yesterday. And I thought, how can somebody go unidentified for a period of time?
Mm-hmm.
I thought, I just don't understand that. Somebody's got to be looking for them.
Right.
This particular one, which I'm not going to go into detail because we may do an episode about it, but basically their father was in jail for many years. Their mother had passed away. And they had siblings that they didn't talk to. So when this particular person went missing, there was no one that would report them missing.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they're found, but nobody's looking for them because they don't know to look for them.
Right.
So it's amazing to me how many times that happens, because it does. It happens.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that I was reading on the Namus website is a lot of it happens because they'll do fingerprint analysis and take DNA and stuff like that. But if they're not in any type of system, then they're not going to register with anything.
You know what we need to look up?
What?
I'm curious with the way, what are those websites? Ancestry.com.
Oh, yeah.
23andMe. So if you and I wanted to find our long lost relatives, right, we could do ancestry.com or whatever. They send, you know, you do your DNA kit, you send it in, and then they tell you who your long lost relatives are and where they're at, you know, or, you know, as much information as they can tell you. And I just wonder if it's that easy for Joe Blow. How do they not find distant relatives and things with the DNA of these bodies they find?
I don't know. I mean, it could be like they'll find them like several months later, mm-hmm. or sometimes even years later, and it'll just be like skeletal remains. So it's very difficult to get DNA. Yeah, but it's difficult. Yeah, but
is it?
I
need to look that up before we state that.
I can definitely look it up. Okay, let me see. There is considerable anthropological and forensic interest in the possibility of DNA typing skeletal remains. Trace amounts of DNA can be recovered even from 5,500-year-old bones. DNA sequences can frequently be amplified from such DNA using the PCR reaction.
So you can get DNA. So basically, yeah. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter how long. If you find a femur in the middle of a field, and all it is a femur.
But they would have to have something to match it against.
But that's what I'm saying. If we do a DNA test for ourselves, mm-hmm. right? We do a DNA, you know, we spit in a tube, and we send it to 23andMe or Ancestry.com, and they tell us who our, you know, second cousin once removed is. I don't understand how you can find a body or any piece of a human and not be able to tell who they're related to.
So, yeah, I totally agree with you. A spokesman for 23andMe said in an email, "We never share customer data with law enforcement unless we receive a legally valid request, such as a search warrant or a written court order."
So they have to, but that's going to make me mad. So what? I mean, are these police departments or detectives just finding bodies and they're like, eh? We don't want to get a court order to get the DNA to send it off, so
well, to get a court order, sit on it. to get a court order, they would have to have reasonable belief that 23andMe holds the DNA. I guess it would just depend on the judge and where they're located.
Because in my mind, I'm thinking every single person that's found should be, I mean, they don't know who they are. They should be, you know, entered into a database like 23andMe or Ancestry.com. That's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. I would think that it would be crazy not to do that. But okay.
Well, and it may be something that will evolve as time goes on, because 23andMe is fairly new. I mean,
Ancestry.com's not new.
Right, I mean, 23andMe is not submit new, DNA new. To Ancestry.com.
I don't know. These are just my thoughts.
Yeah, no, I fully agree with you. I just think it's not as easy as, okay, well, let's run it through all of the DNA systems and also 23andMe and also Ancestry.com.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, so this last one, case number 10877 JP3652-86 was found in Rockdale, Texas. The body was found November 4th, 1986.
In Rockdale.
Mm-hmm. The estimated age range is 12 to 16, female, white, Caucasian, or Hispanic and Latino. The estimated year of death is 1986. Height is 5'2", weight is approximately 95 pounds.
So small.
Mm-hmm. Circumstances of recovery: found in bar ditch along US 77, 7 miles south of Rockdale, Texas. Non-expensive yellow metal ring on left ring finger. Suffered from spina bifida. May have walked with a limp or had abnormal posture. Teeth misaligned and had severe tooth decay. Double piercings in both ears. Hair appears to be reddish blonde. May have been dyed. So, inventory of remains. All parts recovered. Not recognizable, partial skeletal parts only. And so it says piercing, ears pierced, jewelry, ring, non-expensive yellow metal ring on left finger. And then they have a picture of the ring, and it just looks like a band. It's just a solid band. There's nothing on it. So it says to contact the UNT Center for Human Identification, and they're the numbers listed on the NamUs website for that. Very interesting cases. So we'll go through more. I'll mark these down, but we can do these mini-sodes with these unidentified just to get it out there a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's not bad. Somebody's got to talk about it, right?
Yeah. I mean, like, I just feel like the Facebook page has been super helpful. They've actually been able to, like, get somewhere with a lot of the cases just from the Facebook mm-hmm. page, because people will get on there and they'll be like, oh, I know this guy who used to run a store, and that's who he looks like. And so on and so forth. So they get somewhere with things.
Right.
So it helps. Somebody's got to talk about it.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Minisode out.
Minisode. We have at least one episode, maybe two episodes, that are going to come out. When we're going to release those on Sunday?
Yeah. They'll be out Sunday. New episodes every Sunday.
Sunday. New episodes every Sunday. We should have one or two that come out at midnight Sunday, Saturday into Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So look out for those.
Awesome. On to the next.
Here we go.